Solar panels now dot the historic buildings of Freiburg, Germany, as the city, dating back to the 13th century, has become the epicenter of Germany's transition to clean energy. Germany has made a commitment to generate 80% of its electricity with renewable sources by the middle of the 21st century. Yet the commitment to Germany's clean energy transition comes with a real cost. The nation currently has among the highest electric rates in Europe, and manufacturers are screaming for rate relief. The German government has granted energy surcharge exemptions to energy-intensive industries in order to prevent an industrial exodus to countries with cheaper rates. And while most German citizens remain supportive of the transition to renewable energy, many poor residents can't afford the high electric rates and are relying on support from charitable organizations to pay their utility bills. Germany's clean energy transition calls for renewables to make up 35% of the country's power by 2020, up from 25% today. Combined with ambitious energy efficiency goals, carbon emissions are projected to fall 80% by 2050. Outside of scenic Moab, Utah, energy prospectors are staking claims to exploit shale oil and tar sands along the Book Cliffs East Tavaputs Plateau. The area is estimated to have the potential to produce three times the proven reserves of Saudi Arabia's, but developing it would be environmentally destructive. In much of Utah, energy developers of non-conventional oil must work with the Federal Bureau of Land Management, who supervise over 3 million acres of public land in the state. In many western states, pro-mining legislatures, including Utah, have tried to take over management of federally run public lands. The logical result would be greater exploitation of natural resources than under the Bureau of Land Management. Ken Ivory, the Utah State Representative who authored the 2012 Transfer of Public Land Act, worked hand-in-hand with the right-wing American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, which is bankrolled by the billionaire Koch brothers to push similar laws in Idaho, Wyoming, Montana, and Nevada. Clinton-era BLM Director Patrick Shea noted that the aim of the law, which a federal court last May ruled to be unconstitutional, was, quote, to sow chaos on public lands. The Environmental Protection Agency has walked away from a fight over the cleanup of a former Florida phosphate mine due to pressure from state officials and the powerful phosphate industry. The EPA is turning over the site to state officials and has declined to designate it for Superfund cleanup status, despite their own internal documents that reveal that agency officials believe the site posed serious health risks. Critics say the EPA's withdrawal in mid-January could expose upwards of 100,000 people to possible cancer-causing radiation. The state strategy for the site in Lakeland, Florida, is to monitor radon levels in a housing subdivision but not remove any hazardous soils. Phosphate industry lobbyists firmly opposed a Superfund cleanup designation, which could have made the corporations involved liable for an $11 billion toxic cleanup. In the past, state health officials have maintained that no cleanup was necessary unless radon exposures exceeded 500 millirems of radiation a year, levels well above what the EPA would normally permit. The EPA decision to pull back from a Superfund cleanup in Lakeland is consistent with controversial new guidelines to deal with exposure to dirty bombs, nuclear power plant meltdowns, and other radiological incidents that is being pushed by the nuclear power industry as a means of relaxing radiation standards. Daniel Hirsch, an authority on nuclear power at the University of California, Santa Cruz, states, "The EPA's approach to the Lakeland case is an indication that the agency is backing away from its long-held radiological cleanup rules." This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Richard Hill.